It is 11:15 on this Tuesday morning, and Mabel Louise is in the house, as sometimes they say, is in studio with us.
Good morning. Here, and yes. I'm glad to be here and inside Indeed. And out of the rain and all that dampness. But you know what? I'm here today to remind you that November is known for the number of cloudy, damp days. So let's live it up. And join the Apostle Paul by saying, okay, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Well, that's easier, isn't it, than being a complainer? I think it is. Well, I hope that you enjoy the day. Anyway, hey, if you got up this morning, wasn't that wonderful? Yeah. Let's look at life that way, right? And oh, just ask the Lord to use you in a special way today. And I know that he will. If we ask him, he promised. He said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Isn't that something else? How good the Lord is to us. And I've been visiting with you about guiding children. And guess what? When I got up this morning at 5 o'clock, yes, my brain hasn't adjusted to that extra hour yet. And I was up at 5 o'clock, and the Holy Spirit said, why don't you talk about the election day? Everybody else is. Why don't you join the club? So that's exactly what I'm doing. And I'm postponing my message on guiding the children till my next broadcast. Okay, so tune in, you grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads that are listening to WWIB. And by the way, I just read a letter from a dear one, and she said, I love to have Mabel Louise talk about our big family. She said, that just does something for me. And that's the way I feel about it. You out there are our listeners and our big family. So let's talk about your vote counts. I hope and pray that you're not staying home today and saying, oh, what's the use? Whatever will be whatever. No, your vote is so important. And you know what? It's not every year that my broadcast falls on Election Day. So honestly, that's why I thought, oh, I don't want to miss out on that. So I've actually heard people say, what's the use to vote? My one vote is certainly not important with all of the millions and millions who are voting today. Well, you know what? I kept in my files a copy of In Tune. It was published way back in 1992. Oh, my goodness, that seems like it's so long ago. And the question was asked, what can one vote do? And I typed out what the article stated, and here it is. One vote caused Charles I to be executed in 1649. One vote gave America the English language instead of German. Imagine that. One vote elected Thomas Jefferson president in 1800. Aaron Burr lost his chance of an elected office by one single vote. One vote admitted Texas to the U.S. in 1845. One vote admitted California in 1850. One vote admitted Oregon in 1859. One vote admitted the state of Washington in 1889. And one vote admitted Idaho to the U.S. in 1890. One vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment in 1868. One vote changed France from a monarchy to a republic in 1875. Only one vote elevated Adolf Hitler to head the Nazi Party in 1923. And one vote saved the Selective Service system only 12 weeks before Pearl Harbor. One vote less in each precinct in 1960 would have made Richard Nixon president instead of John F. Kennedy. Did you know that? Well, there you are. That's what the article said. I didn't take time to do any more research because I could have, and I have in my file a long list, I don't know how many, 2 pages typewritten, of what one vote accomplished. Think about it. So let me repeat again. Your vote is important. There's always been the controversy as to whether or not believers should become involved in politics. I've never had time to go out and do a lot of campaigning and what have you, because I've always felt I need to spend my time on my messages. And I teach a Bible study group and my counseling. I've done counseling for many years. And I've always felt that if I can do that much, I'm heading out and I can teach people to vote. And that's what I'm trying to do today. Well, certainly you and I know that it would take a person with strong leadership and strong convictions to be involved in politics. And I was just sat back in my chair and I was thinking, are there any men in the Bible or women who've been involved with strong leadership and strong convictions? So I thought of 2, Joseph and Daniel. And they were 2 men in the Bible who were in political positions. I'm sure that there are more, but these 2 came to my attention, namely Joseph and Daniel. And just off the top of my head, I'm thinking of Nehemiah. Remember, he was governor, so he would have had strong leadership. And of course, he was the one who led the Israelites in putting back the wall and repairing the gates and what have you in Jerusalem. So I'm sure there are many, many more who took the leadership. But I just chose Joseph and Daniel. Well, the 41st chapter of Genesis tells us about Joseph's call to leadership. Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph was called from prison to interpret that dream. When Joseph had shaved himself and prepared to meet with the king, he immediately showed his leadership and his convictions by stating in verse 16, "It is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Then Pharaoh proceeded to tell Joseph his dream. Joseph responded by interpreting the dream and revealing that there would be 7 years of great plenty and 7 years of famine. Well, Joseph boldly told the king in verse 32 that the dream was doubled because the thing it established by God, and God shall bring it to pass. Then he suggested that Pharaoh find a man who was discreet. That means someone who was wise and could make wise decisions. And he set him over the land of Egypt. The Lord had already taught Joseph many lessons from all of his hard knocks. Now he was prepared and ready for that important place in politics or leadership that would actually literally save the world. He saved the world from famine by his leadership and by his suggestions. Well, let's think about Daniel. If you've studied the life of Daniel, you would know that even as a teenager, he showed strong convictions and leadership. Daniel was taken in captivity as part of the king of Babylon's, part of his group. The king wanted youths of the tribe of Judah, that children in whom was no blemish, but were well-favored and skillful. Listen to this now. This is what was said of Daniel. He was skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Daniel and his friends decided to exercise their strong convictions. Remember how they were? They stood for what they wanted to believe. And that was because they loved the Lord, and they refused eating the king's rich food and his drinking. So I won't take the time to go into all the experience of those precious boys who took a stand for God. But Daniel's leadership and promotion was all that was needed. And Daniel, of course, you remember, was cast in the lion's den because he absolutely would not compromise. And he continued to practice his prayer time 3 times a day. Oh, how we need leadership like that in our world today. Men of God who will take a stand. And I'm thankful that from years to years, we've had faithful believers work in politics and take a stand and refuse to compromise. Well, you know the story that God closed the mouths of the lions and protected Daniel. And by the way, Daniel was promoted to the highest position in the kingdom. My, wasn't that wonderful? It's obvious, isn't it, that the Lord was leading in a definite way in the lives of Daniel and Joseph. God could trust these men in their convictions and their leadership, and he knew they would not waver in their testimonies and their love for the Lord, no matter what happened. And you'll notice that they didn't go with the crowd and waver from one thing to another. They stood for what was right, and they lived it. Not only should we vote, which is our God-given privilege, but our greatest weapon is prayer. Oh, yes. I was up early, as I told you this morning, praying for God to have his way. Not my way, but his way. All of us vote to the best of the knowledge as we study the candidate. But we most of all, as believers, want God's plan, God's way. And the Bible certainly says that believers can have political influence. Remember Paul's admonition to Timothy? Over in Timothy chapter 2, Paul exhorts Timothy. He says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good, and it is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who, by the way, will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." So I guess what we can conclude is go out and vote. But you know what? I want to leave you with an illustration of how prayer can have such a tremendous impact on the way the world turns out today. On a gloomy day, and I want to close with this illustration for praying for our nation. And you remember that beautiful verse, and I'll close with it over in 2 Chronicles. But here's a wonderful example of answered prayer. On a gloomy day in 1857, a man in New York City by the name of Jeremiah Lanther scanned the morning newspaper as he rode to his office. He was so distressed and red with depression gripping the nation, causing fear and panic among the people. Factories were stopping. Thousands were unemployed. And Lanther was not a big industrialist, but only a simple clerk. He had one important distinction. He was a man of prayer who had great faith in the Lord. So concerned with the grim economic situation, he sent a note to all of his business acquaintances, asking them and telling them that every day at noon, a prayer meeting would be held in his office. With blessed and high hopes for answered prayer, he arranged 20 chairs in a circle. But the first day, no one came. All alone, he prayed fervently that God would bring about a real change in him and in America. The second day, he was encouraged, for a few friends joined him. It wasn't long before all those 20 chairs were filled. A short time later, a similar gathering was started on Wall Street, another on William Street, and finally a fourth on Broadway. Like wildfire, the movement spread to all parts of the country. The moral tone of the nation was affected. There was a great upsurge in the spiritual life of the people. Some historians say that this effort of united prayer and faith was part of the improvement in the economy which soon followed. Only as America blesses God can God bless America. And here's the verse that I promised to end the broadcast. If my people, we as believers, will pray and turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, then will I hear their prayers and I will hear and heal their land. Let's claim that. Let's pray for today's final election and for our country, that it will go forth and that we can be united as one. It's been so good to be with you. Bye-bye.